Tom's Building, 406 North Duke Street, at the West Village Apartments, they hang a banner reading, Live the Cool. Downstairs living room, music corner near the record player, speakers, iPod dock. The orange powder residue accumulates where the carpet meets the red brick walls, where the floorboards would be if there were any. My thoughts are a little troubling. My walls continue to crumble and I add a vacuum more frequently. But the other part is the reminder. The specialty of living in a city where the buildings are often dusty old things. Reincarnations. Not just my apartment. Not just the Irwin Mill apartments in a one-time cotton mill down the road. Also local restaurants and downtown microbreweries. The Brightleaf Square, its name a reference to healthy green tobacco leaves. But some of these buildings remain in post-industrial purgatory, neither preserved for historic posterity nor involved in any visible conversion process, commercial or residential or otherwise. Though, when I cross the street to the Liggett & Myers building, there's a real estate sign fixed to the sidewalk outside the building's northeast face, too enthusiastically declaring, space available. At the corner of West Main and South Duke Street, the building spans an area near the size of the entire Duke undergraduate bar complex of Shooters, The Federal, James Joyce, Olivia's, and Divine's. Despite a common history, its present is unlike its neighbors, bustling drunk with life. Not that the outside is deceptive. The utilitarian 12-ish story heft is uninviting, unwieldy, crowned with an inelegant L&M sign, but the interior is colossally terrifying, the genuine embodiment of horror film emotively tuned to the paranoia of urban decay. Starts with a control room, a 6x10-foot space, large enough for 1 to 2 security guards. Absurdism Exhibit A. Two shelves drooping under the weight of about 20 extant CCTV monitors, which, the first time I saw them, were mostly powered on and flashing solid blue, buzzing screens, or humming with dark static. In huge stacks strewn about the desks and floor, Polaroids split into identical quarters, Warhol style, with one quarter cut out, presumably for an employee badge. Blank, early 90s looking faces of various gender and ethnicities, all showing the general enthusiasm one would expect from a factory worker's employee badge. Eerie and dusty, I pocketed a few, then moved on. Note, artificial light needed to navigate floors 1 to 3. This is more for mental than physical security. These bottom floors are mostly cleared out and vacuous, but not cleaned out. One room's floor is covered with thousands of unfinished cigarettes, filters stuffed into papers with no tobacco. Wall paint peels away and flakes at every possible vertical surface, and the areas of ceiling that are not rotting with holes are stained dark with flood residue. The drywall is crumbled, still crumbling, and a powdery asbestos aroma in the air. Cheap wood doors are prostrate on mildewed carpet or turned twisted off their hinges. Wooden floors so warped by floodwater they undulate sinusoidally across the factory floors. Rows and brutal rows of heavy metal machinery, conveyor belts studded with 6-inch metal spikes. Industrial medieval torture devices with no apparent connection to cigarette production. Skeletons and half-decomposed birds, unable to navigate their escape. Across the street, there is a Liggett and Myers Research Center, and Duke's library archives include expansive records on the history of Durham's factories and mostly defunct industries. This, all information I'll never pilfer through, though I abstractly ponder the origin of the blotches of seafoam green paint left on my bedroom's brick walls. A Duke U alumnus, a nymph-like, idiosyncratic figure rarely chanced upon in these parts, took her building love to the fringes of conceivability when she performed a so-called gay marriage to a Seattle warehouse scheduled for demolition. Her endearingly harebrained protest against gentrification, she wanted to repurpose the space as a non-commercial community center, describes the affect called melancholia in the Freudian lexicon, feeling the tug of a loss of some unnameable thing. It's abstract because an attachment to a building is hard to source. Is the affection related to our use and experience, or the physical thing itself, down to the brick walls that sustain it? We construct meaning and get meaning back from our constructions, until we leave them to die. Dead red bricks.